It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. In August of 2014, a patient at the Tomah VA Medical Center, Jason Simkakowski, died of an opioid overdose. 5 months later, the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism published a scathing investigation of his death and the culture of opioid overprescribing at the VA hospital, which is about 40 miles east of La Crosse. In April, Caitlin Farrell, the public affairs and investigative reporter at the Capital Times, visited Tomah to see how it was faring. Using data combined with interviews with staff and a handful of patients, Farrell details a remarkable turnaround. The VA hospital has curbed its opioid prescriptions by as much as 73% since the beginning of 2015. And we'd love to hear what you think of this. Is this something that should still be a political issue? Should it have ever been a political issue? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Caitlin Farrell is sitting in the studio with me. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we have data on the Tomah VA's opioid painkiller prescription rate. It's part of a larger effort by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to be transparent and to decrease opioid prescriptions overall. What does this data tell us?
So, the data that we can see from Tomah is a part of a larger VA program called the VA Opioid Safety Initiative. And so this has been a national program. It was expanded in fiscal year 2013. And, it's part of a broader effort to just be really transparent and put out all of the prescribing data, the trends in overdoses and deaths for every VA in the country right on the VA website. And so what we've seen from Tomah, and before reporting the story, I didn't quite realize just how much information was out there where mm-hmm. you could go and look for yourself to see what they were saying that they were prescribing. We've seen a steady downward trend both in really high level doses of opioids and lower level ones as well. And they also track other types of protocol where they're screening patients to kind of make sure that patients really understand the ramifications of the pill that they're taking. Mm-hmm. They also do urine screens. And so there's a lot of self-reported data that Tomah and other VAs put right on the website that you can go look for every fiscal year and really map what the trend has been.
So Tomah got a lion's share of the media attention because Reveal did this.
Right.
The public radio show Reveal, which is an amazing show. But this has been going on in other VA hospitals, too. When people came back from the wars, the doctors gave them opioids because they were in pain. How has has pain management changed because of this overdose of opioids?
Well, from what I was told from the officials I met with at Tomah and the reading that I've done, I think that there appears to really be a shift in the VA's understanding and approach to pain as far as really being open and proactive about offering alternative therapies. And so one aspect that I wrote about in this story that's really big at Tomah, and they're actually building like a 10,000 square foot or maybe larger facility that's going to open in December, is a whole health clinic. So as a patient at the VA, you can walk in and you have access to battlefield acupuncture, yoga, Tai Chi. There's a whole range of alternative therapies that are meant to supplement and at times replace just taking a conventional pharmaceutical drug. And so that's an element that I think they've really realized, there can be safer and really just more effective ways of managing pain without taking a pill. And those things are being offered at Tomah as well as other VAs.
We are talking about the Tomah VA and prescription opioids. 800-642-1234 is the number that we want you to call. We'd like to hear from you about this. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Yoga, acupuncture, we don't tend to think of these things as, pain management tools. We think of them as sort of like nutty, crunchy things that some people do, and not necessarily an Army thing or a Marine thing. So how do veterans who go to Tomah and go to other VA hospitals, how are they reacting to that kind of like, oh, hey, go over there and do some yoga and your pain will go away?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit more involved than that from what I've been told. And a part of, I think, what is a big piece for folks at the VA is really, you know, educating both physicians who work for the VA and veterans about this as well. And so sort of the physician then can educate the veteran on the benefits of this. And also veterans take classes. One of the big landmark programs at TOMA is Payne University. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big way that they're able, I think, to really teach veterans, like for battlefield acupuncture, for example, explain to them that this is a method for treating chronic pain and this is how it works, and really helping veterans understand like the physiology of how this type of alternative treatment works in your body as opposed to a conventional pharmaceutical drug. And so the veteran, I spoke with one veteran who I think was a little bit skeptical about battlefield acupuncture, mm-hmm. At first, but now, you know, he was like, well, I'll try it. I have this chronic pain, and he tried it, and he said it's been more effective and better for him than any painkiller he's taken, and now he tries to get in as much as possible. And so I think for many, I'm sure it's a process where they're educated, but then they try it, and sometimes it just, you know, it speaks for itself when it works.
Mm-hmm. You actually opened your story with a story from one of the veterans you talked to. Tell us about him.
Sure. So I spoke with a veteran named Sam Hipp, and he was a veteran I got connected to through another veteran that the VA specifically referred me to. And Sam, now he's in an inpatient program there, and he just completed a post-traumatic stress disorder program. I think he had struggled a bit with substance abuse. And one of the questions I had just kind of going into the story, because I think as a resident of Wisconsin, in election season, when you're seeing all these ads about TOMA, I just kind of wanted to know what a veteran who's living there and who's a patient there thinks about that and if they're aware of that. And so I asked Sam and the other veterans I spoke to just, you know, what do they notice the ads? How do they think about the ads? How does it make them feel? Is it an important political issue for them? And what Sam and his other friend Chris had said was just that they are really happy with their care there. And, you know, he gets really upset and angry when he sees this issue mm-hmm. really politicized by both sides, by both parties. And it's come up, came up in the 2016 Senate race, and we've seen it in this race. I'm sure we'll continue to see it a bit.
We've seen it in this race with attacking Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah. Right. And he just said that, you know, it makes him angry, and he feels that as a veteran who's really gone through a struggle and is trying to get better, he feels like it you know, I think just kind of exploit is my word, but you know, it uses what they're trying to do there at TOMA as a political issue, and it's upsetting to him.
So is it upsetting also to the staff? I mean, the staff has had a tremendous turnaround since 2015 when this story came out. There was a lot of people who were leaving. There were whistleblowers who were not being heard. And now there are people who are staying and opening up new you know, pain management clinics, and a new leader.
Right.
What did they think about the politicizing of this?
Right. So I did a sit-down interview, and we spoke pretty extensively with Victoria Brom, who's the medical center director, and she took over officially in January of 2017, but had been around and was an interim director prior to that. And what she has said is she's been a part of it as everything sort of came crumbling down, and
right.
Now she's trying to rebuild, is that she recognizes that inherently the VA is a political entity because it's a government, it's a publicly government-run hospital. And so I think she acknowledges that this is kind of a part of what they're doing because it's publicly funded. But I think that what she told me is that it's really her aim to try to get just get the data out there for what is happening. So some of the things I spoke about with prescription rates and employee morale and wait times, wait times has been another issue we've mm-hmm. seen problems with. You know, they're really happy, they say, with where their wait times are at. And I think she just wants the public to really know that, you know, you can go onto the VA website and look at this for yourself. And the staff, as well as Ms. Brom, were very open to that, you know. I'm sure not every patient at TOMA is happy. Maybe not every employee is happy, but I think she said that she's really trying to put mechanisms in place for those types of grievances to come forward and for concerns to be heard, and that she really wants to be open and receptive to those and make changes where they need to be made.
We are talking about the TOMA VA Medical Center, which Caitlin Farrell wrote about in the Cap Times. The center was the subject of a story by Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting that showed in 2015 that it had a really, really high rate of opioid prescriptions to its patients, and one patient actually died. And Caitlin wrote about the fact that the place seems to have turned around just in the last few years. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Phil from Hayward, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question or comment?
My question, I guess, question and comment on it. You know, I meet a lot of vets in the work that I do, and I get into some conversations that they have about the use of opioids and as pain management, and in some cases where, you know, they were really small and used it as an effective manner. Some of these guys are not very well informed on the alternative treatments that are out there. You know, some you know, just simply flat out don't know the alternatives, so mm-hmm. they just go to their doctor visits each day or each week, and you know, still receive some of these medicines that I think that you know, get out of hand. And I was just wondering about some of the actual alternative treatments that they have out there to the pain management.
Okay.
In place of taking the medicine.
Okay, so there's a few things that he brought up. Thank you very much, Phil. First of all, not all doctors seem to know that there are all these alternative medicines. The veterans themselves don't seem to know, or anybody actually who is dealing with pain. How do they find out about this stuff? And give us a little more about what these alternative medicines are.
Sure.
Or alternative treatments, I should say.
Sure. So, you know, I guess all I can speak, I think that if a veteran is a patient at the VA and is going to the VA, and I think one thing that the officials at Toma said is that in some cases, I know maybe not all veterans are going to the VA. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the struggles for them is that they really want to win those patients back. But as a veteran, if you are open to trying the VA again, I would imagine that most providers at the VA are aware this has been a big push VA-wide that, you know, they call it the whole health program, and which encompasses these alternative treatments. So there's a big push as far as physicians at the VA should be trained and educated in what the options are there. As far as outside the VA, I think, you know, I guess I can't really speak to that, but mm-hmm. I think that that's one thing the VA is trying to kind of position itself as. It's as a saying that it's a really distinct and valuable provider because it does offer these resources that, you know, other doctors who are not a part of the VA might not have, be aware of, understand how to apply it to a veteran's position.
Given the fact that Toma was the subject of this investigation, that there were problems, that it was a part of the 2016 election, the Senate election between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson. Do you think a lot of veterans are saying, oh, no, I don't want to go to the VA. The VA is, I have to wait a long time. They'll give me opioids. They'll get, you know, they won't treat me correctly. And how does Toma itself, how are they getting around that?
So, you know, I guess I can't speak, you know, really to, I guess, what veterans across the state, what the perception is. I guess I wouldn't, considering that a lot of the news coverage about Toma and there's a lot of the stuff we hear about the VA and the news ends up being, you know, kind of bad things. And so, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if most veterans are like, why bother? You know, this isn't going to be good. And maybe they've had their own bad experience as well. But And folks at Toma, Victoria Brahm recognizes that. She said to me, you know, we know that we've essentially, I think, lost the trust in some cases with veterans, and we really want to win that back. And I think what they're really doing is trying to talk to the media like myself and explaining what they're doing and just kind of, you know, trying to market, get the word out. They also do work. I mean, I spoke in my story about how they are contracting with Mayo Clinic up there.
Mm, right.
So trying to work and get into agreements with other providers. But, you know, you can go onto the website and look at all the variety of treatments that they have. And I know the most about battlefield acupuncture, which is a type of acupuncture actually that's done in the ear, because I think that that's one that's really grown in popularity at Toma. And that I really didn't know anything about and is really interesting. The theory is that the ear is a microcosm for the body, and so you put very tiny retractable needles in various parts of the ear, and then that would correspond to where pain is occurring throughout your body. So like this man I interviewed, Frank Smith, has chronic, I think, lower back pain, and so the physician at Toma was able to place a needle in his ear that corresponded, you know, to where his back was and he felt immediate relief from the pain. And then the needles stay in, they're really tiny for 24 to 48 hours, I think, maybe more than that. So,
and when they when they come out, his pain is still gone.
Yeah, I mean, well, he says that his he's able to be pain free for it does eventually come back, but it's for a longer period of time than he experienced when he was taking an opioid, and it's more instantaneous.
We are taking your phone calls today about the Toma VA Hospital and VA care in general. Jane from Manitowoc, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. As a veteran who has service non-combat service-connected neck fusion and shoulder injuries, I use alternative meds because opioids don't help me. So I do shots in the back of my head to stop the migraine headaches, and I had been getting cortisone in my shoulder and stuff. So the VA is willing to work with us on alternatives as long as you ask about them. I think civilian doctors are pretty much the same way. They're not as rushed with their appointments, so they may take more time. But our service members, as a county veteran service officer, they need to ask more questions. They need to be more involved. And when they're not being treated right, they need to put it in black and white and get it to the head of the clinic, the head of the hospital, the secretary of the VA. I do that all the time. The other reverse of that is the fact that the sudden jump to get everybody off opioids has left a couple of my guys that have, like, degenerative bone disease and stuff in pain. Because they're taking them away from everything.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So that's an interesting question. There are still people who need opioids. Does the VA recognize that?
Yeah, they do. And yeah, that's a really good point. And is the officials I spoke to at Toma do recognize that. And I asked them that question, too, because just, you know, everyone's got a different medical, you know, story, and just kind of stripping everyone off opioids or trying to just run it down really quickly doesn't necessarily benefit every patient. And so I was told that there really are, there are officials at the VA providers that really work with responsibly scaling that down when it can be scaled down, that it really is, you know, a situation where they recognize, you know, sometimes people really do need an opioid. Sometimes they need a high dose of one. It's more a matter of really educating the patient more about what that means and putting, I think, other checks in place to make sure that abuse doesn't happen.
We are talking to Caitlin Farrell. She is the public affairs and investigative reporter at the Cap Times. She wrote about the Toma VA Medical Center, which seems to have turned around from its low point a few years ago when it was featured on Reveal. We'll be back in a moment. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. A few years ago, the Toma VA Medical Center was a poster child for an out-of-control culture of opioid abuse and cratering morale. Today, says our guest Caitlin Farrell, the center is in the midst of a turnaround. Farrell is an investigative reporter for the Capital Times. Are you a veteran who's gone to the Toma VA for addiction treatment or other services? What has your experience been there? Have you attended Pain University at the VA or tried an alternative therapy there like acupuncture? Did it help? Do you think it would have been different if you had been prescribed opioids instead? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Caitlin, I want to talk about this Pain University. Is this something you have to, like, apply to and write an essay for or anything like that? Talk to me about this.
So, I mean, I've been told it is a university in the sense that it is a series of classes that you enroll in, you sign up for as a veteran, a VA patient at Toma. I'm not aware of essays you have to write, although I didn't ask them that question. So this is a program that was developed by physical therapists at Toma back in, I think, 2016. Yeah, May of 2016, it started there. And it was so successful there that the VA used that as kind of a template to then apply to other VAs as well. And so it's a series of classes, I believe, where they build upon each other, and veterans sign up and can learn the elements of, you know, how pain works in the body, what's going on in your body when it's experiencing pain. How does a narcotic painkiller work when it's ingested into the body, and a variety of other things, so that they really understand, you know, when they do ingest a painkiller, what's happening to them. And then I think the aim too is for them to really better understand their own bodies and how pain is working, so that they can respond to it and treat it in a more effective way, you know, maybe without the need for that. And I've been told that the physical therapists I spoke to who developed the curriculum for that said that part of the impetus was that they would just see patient after patient that just had chronic pain, and the exercises they did didn't work and nothing was really working. They just had the same complaints. And so they thought that they would try this program to try to educate people and then kind of dovetail some of the alternative therapies into that. And that's when they really began to see a change.
This is fascinating to me. So Toma was in a rut where they were just prescribing opioids for people. And then suddenly they figure out how to turn this around, and now other VA hospitals are doing the same thing?
Right. Yeah, the Toma VA was awarded what was called a Diffusion of Excellence award program. And that's an initiative of the VA, I think, where they take really good ideas from regional VAs and then they try to replicate that across the whole system. And from what I gathered from my reporting there, I mean, I really think that it sounded like a change in leadership at Toma. You know, the top leadership was totally changed after this kind of scandal came out. Mm-hmm. Really enabled folks who have ideas like this to kind of rise to the top and fully develop it. And that's one thing that Victoria Brahm had told me is a real priority of hers. You know, there were a lot of turnover, a lot of employees leaving, and she really wanted to identify and kind of empower, encourage folks who did want to really make a difference and do good things to do them and do them well. And it seems like this would have been really difficult under the past regime.
We are taking your calls. Are you a veteran? Do you have pain or perhaps PTSD issues? Do you get treated at the VA? Has the VA gotten better for you? Or was it always good for you? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Mark from Two Rivers, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks much. I appreciate the program. And I just wanted to comment, to caution the VA, because I'm a patient, and every year I get this persistent cough, and they found a way to treat it, because I can't even sleep at night. But it's cough medicine with codeine for me to take at night. And this last time I went there, they wouldn't prescribe it. The provider said, oh, no, that's an opiate. We'll try something else. Well, that something else doesn't work, because it's always been tried. So they're numbers driven. And so this provider was looking at the numbers and saying, that's not going to be on my numbers that I prescribed an opiate. So I had to suffer with it for two more weeks, go back, see a different provider. They'd look at my record and see, yeah, this is what helps each year. You're not an addict.
Right.
You don't get it refilled every time. And then prescribed it, and it took care of it. So I'm just cautioning the VA, don't be numbers-driven, be patient-driven.
Good point, Mark. You were nodding your head there, Caitlin. Are there providers who are like maybe like overly cautious about prescribing any sort of opioid because they don't want it on their records?
You know, I can't speak to that specifically, what any one provider at Toma or at any VA is doing necessarily, but it makes sense that would be the case. I mean, if there's, I can understand how there would be an incentive in place for that, considering maybe an unintended consequence of wanting to be radically transparent and you know, and when there's a concerted effort to really see this trend continue with that we're weaning people off opiates, it makes sense that would be the case. And so, you know, like I said kind of earlier, when I did ask TOMA, specifically TOMA officials, about this, you know, those providers acknowledged to me that they understand that, yes, every patient's case is different and that, you know, some patients really do need an opioid. And there's a specific person at the TOMA VA, and I'm not sure if this person is at every VA in Wisconsin, but that is like specifically responsible for this opioid safety initiative and looking at what these numbers are and kind of how many people have, you know, done screenings and how, you know, all these processes that are a part of this opioid safety initiative. She's in charge of monitoring and managing. And she acknowledged to me that, you know, what Mark had said, which is that every patient's case is different, and it's the aim is not to rush and rip everyone's opioid away from them. And so, but I think that that's definitely a really legitimate concern.
So we've been talking about opioids, but a lot of what VAs treat in this country are PTSD issues, mental health issues. TOMA has made a large jump in that respect too.
Right. Yeah, that's one area where Victoria Brahm told me is something they're really focusing on and want to just really excel at. She noted, you know, we're not going to be wonderful and excellent for every corner of care, but mental health is something that's really important to us. And so there's a wide array of mental health services, and I know that they're always working to improve them, she said, at TOMA VA, including military sexual trauma is a big one, where they now have an inpatient unit for men and for women. It's a relatively new facility they have. And so, you know, that's one area. I know that they're really trying to carve out a place for veterans. I know TOMA as well has an inpatient PTSD program. The veterans I interviewed for my story both had gone through that and spoke very highly of it. There's, I know that they've continued to develop it. I think they work with Fort McCoy, which is near TOMA, to run that program. And so I know that they're working specifically in the area of mental health.
So what is TOMA doing specifically to get veterans past that barrier where they don't want to go to the doctor, they don't necessarily want to go to the VA? How are they reaching out to vets?
Well, I know that Victoria Brahm, the medical, you know, center, does go and meet with various communities across the state. So I was told, you know, they'll do telephone town halls. She'll hold open meetings in the community. You know, she told me that she's always working with federal representatives. You know, I imagine they're doing marketing work as well. I'm not quite sure exactly what that is. I think they were eager to talk to a reporter and tell their side of the story because they think that this might be a way to just let veterans know that they're trying to do things differently.
So let's talk about the political aspect of this. Let's come back to that. It was used in the 2016 race. It had just come out like a year before that these issues were happening. But by 2016, TOMA was turning around. Now it's come up again with Tammy Baldwin. Talk to me about why it's come up again.
Sure. So I think a lot of the rhetoric from both sides of the aisle really focuses on what the candidate knew and when, and if they reacted quickly enough. And so we saw Russ Feingold hit Ron Johnson on this score during that campaign. And now we're seeing Republicans hit Tammy Baldwin as well. So really alleging that, you know, she just was slow to act when complaints came to her office. And she acknowledges there's been a slew of reporting about this, and she's been very active in Congress, you know, introducing and helping to pass legislation addressing this. But she acknowledges that a member of her staff was slow when she received a whistleblower report on this. And but since then, you know, she got rid of that staffer. Mm-hmm. She's really been, she says, you know, been very proactive on this, and that it's she's acknowledged the issue. She's moved on, and since then has introduced legislation to rectify it. And yet, you know, it still is kind of this spanging of the drum that we hear that she was slow on it. She was slow on it. So.
Negative campaigning. That's what we campaign on. Mary from Alma, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm not a veteran. My husband is. But in December, I had a total knee replacement. And then as a result, it gave me opioids. I started out about a month and a half on oxycodone, and then went to tramadol, which is a little less addictive or less powerful drug. And when I went off of it, I had, you know, 3 nights of restless sleep, and I didn't know if that was what, you know, addiction, the beginning of addiction was like. But anyways, when I heard a while ago, when the first reports came out about what the VA was doing with exploring alternatives, I thought, oh my gosh, I hope this isn't going to eliminate opioids forever, because there's no way when I have my other knee replaced that I would ever use acupuncture alone or pain management. The first night after my surgery, I just told the nurse, please give me anything to knock me out. The pain was so bad.
Yeah.
The other thing that was a problem is that I live in Alma. It's an hour and a half away from La Crosse, and I couldn't have them give the prescription to my local pharmacy. I actually had to go in the middle of winter to go pick it up in person, or have my husband do that, because I was incapacitated in bed after the surgery. And it was just a lot of hoops to run through. So my point is, I hope they're not planning on with these alternatives of, like, getting rid of it totally, because I think there is a place for opioids and such things as...
Yes.
What I went through.
Yes. And what we forget, thank you very much, Mary, what we forget is that not everybody becomes addicted to opioids. There are a lot of people like Mary who use it after surgery and then stop using it.
Yeah. And my understanding from folks that I interviewed there is really that it's more of a shift of mindset where, like, automatically we give you an opioid and that's the only thing we're going to consider. My understanding is that, you know, again, they consider the patient, but it's not just an automatic, we will automatically give you an opioid. It's just at least considering a range of treatment options as well.
Caitlin Farrell is a public affairs and investigative reporter at the Cap Times. Her piece about the Toma VA is called Rebuilding Toma VA Medical Center Works to Improve After Opioid Scandal. Thank you for coming in today, Caitlin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.